So I want you to think about cancer like an energetic parasite. Okay? It's a parasite energetically. It creates its own little world. It goes into a host, and it's a incredibly smart parasite, as many parasites are, because it cloaks itself and makes the body and doesn't let the body see it for what it is. We're going to talk about how it does that. And but it's a very dumb parasite in that it eventually kills the host, which some parasites do, and then they have to go hunting for other things. Now, it's different because it's an energetic parasite, if you read Louise Hay or Debbie Shapiro or really anybody on cancer, they always say it's self-hatred. Or I guess Louise Hay would say lack of self-love, which would be self-hatred. And ultimately, it's that whatever the zone in the body is the area that the person has rejected in themselves, and so it's turned against the self and shut down. But it's pretty hard for people to swallow that, especially people with cancer, that somehow I hated myself and that's why I got this, because they're already in that place where they're wondering, did I cause this? Was I somehow, you know, a contributing factor in this? And so our language of profiles, vows, and chakras is a much easier language to get the ideas across, especially the idea of vows. And so, for instance, a cancer will form around a vow that says, good mothers give and have no needs. And then, which is a vow against who they truly are. But they're a woman, and who they are is a woman who has needs. They're really a person that has needs and has to be, and they need to both nurture and receive nurturing. But the vow was to never be nurtured. And so what happens is that the tissue in the body, the breasts, which is where energetically you nurture and receive nurturance, especially in women, has no energy in it. It's depleted because it's only ever given. And it gives and it gives and it gives until there's nothing there. There's literally like a black hole. At the point that cancer forms is there is not enough energy in the system to maintain a natural flow of energy, and the cells can't hold together anymore. They literally break apart. They literally start mutating. And that's where the cancer can take hold. And so the cancer is an idea within the system. And the way it actually grows, it has what I call a cloaking device. What the cancer will do is it creates, and this is a combination of both my teacher and Rosalind Breyer's work. Her book, she talks a lot about cancer and how to work with it. And Rosalind Breyer was the one that came up with this idea that cancers work at the first chakra level, very deep base first chakra level. That's why stem cells seem to work on cancer now, and that's why ultimately where the research is going to find that the stem cells will have an impact. Because what a cancer does is it acts as if, and it starts growing, and it treats itself and tells the body that it's an organ that you forgot to build. It's a part of you that needs to be fed so it can grow up, like you're gonna have another kidney or something that you forgot to do when you were in as a fetus, and it says this is what we need to do. Now an organ that's growing in the body like a child is going to draw energy, and the body's gonna want to feed it, and so it sends red blood cells to anything that the body is trying to grow. And so energetically, it stays in this sort of below the radar energy of literally, I am part of your body that I need to grow. And it literally acts as if you were pregnant. For women, it's like you're pregnant with this, and your body treats it and starts sending it all the energy it needs to grow. That's why cancers grow so fast. And it'll actually, just like a baby, it'll pull all the energy out of all the other systems to feed it. And so it depletes your energy while it's growing. So it's pulling energy, it's pulling that out. And ultimately, since it's a foreign enemy of the system, the body needs to see it as that. So part of the healing is recognizing that you need to encapsulate it and raise its frequency up to at least blue or higher. So the body will begin to recognize it as a foreign body and it'll send white blood cells to attack it. It needs to recognize it. The body cannot see a cancer as a parasite or some sort of a negative thing. A foreign object in the system. It doesn't see it. It sees it as part of your system that is actually weak and needing help. So it's a very smart system. Now, what I want you to let in. So that's the actual physiology of it. What you need to understand about it is that it matches perfectly with the way vows work. A vow is a belief system that you develop in the middle of a crisis that tells you it's going to save you. And it says, let me take over the system and I'll run things for you because this now will be the way you'll stay safe. And it grows in your system like a cancer. Your vows are the cancer of your life, because when you vow not to be who you are, you are literally depleting your energy system, eventually becoming ill. But all the ills of your life are based on the vows that you've made in your life. And this vow to never nurture, even if the person never gets cancer, they're not a useful. They are not living their life purpose. I can't say they're not useful. They're helpful to people, but they're an empty shell of a person who just gives and gives and gives, has nothing to offer the world in a real way. A real person has both needs. So a vow creates this sort of, so you want to picture that. And so when you're dealing with cancer patients, you really want to get into what they vowed to be or not be. And of course, every part of the body will, represent. You all have your charts as to what the parts of the body means. I vow not to speak. You're going to have issues. I vow not to speak my truth or ask for my needs to be met, or I'm not going to raise my hand and say it's my turn now. That's going to be thyroid issues. You vow to always be strong and never have needs, or never trust, and you end up having heart attack or heart issues or heart palpitations, or so the vows literally are going to create illness in the body, and at their strongest they create cancer. So a powerful vow that literally shuts down the system, and a cancer zone where cells will start mutating and create cancer is a zone where you've had energy out for a long time. These are not things that just come over somebody. Unless the cancer, and I'll talk about that in a second, unless the cancer, there's two kinds of cancer. One to wake you up and make you more powerful, one to take you home. And no healer in the world can tell you what the difference is. Any healer that does is crazy. They don't have that. They're not privileged with that information. You treat them both the same. You want the person to live their life. If they're going to die tomorrow, you want them to live with vow-free and as healthy as they possibly can be. And so you do the healings to help the body in every possible way, but a cancer that's here to take you home takes you home. It's not gonna lay off. It's not, you've got a date with destiny at that point. And so when you're working with a client, you can't get attached to, if they've got severe cancer, you got stage 4 cancer, okay, what you're doing at this point is you're preparing their body, you're preparing them to not have to deal with so much baggage when they go over and realizing, oh my God, I missed all this about my life. And so you're helping them remember that they're a charismatic leader. You're helping them understand that yes, they vowed to always be this or always be that, but the truth is that even in their last 3 months of life, they can go to Hawaii. They can spend some money on themselves. They can, they can love in a way they've never loved before. They can tell their grandchildren that they love them. They can, or whatever it is that they need to do, you're helping them move forward in that, and you're working with those vows, which then make the cancer not as painful. You take the pain out of it. All right? Is everybody with me? Children tend to get cancer for the parents.
And babies.
Babies, yeah. They come in and they come in, and certainly during the healing, that you know, with children, you know, all the most important healing for children is to love them. And almost always, if a child comes in and gets cancer or dies or you know whatever the you know. Comes in. It's really to wake the parents up. Almost always that's like an advanced soul. You know, the ones that come in, you know, we have a perfect example. An advanced soul comes in and chooses a very difficult life because the parents need the waking up. They're really doing it for the parents. They're doing it for like they're there to serve.
But obviously you cannot say that.
Right.
To the parents.
No. No, you don't. Right. This is healer talk. You know, the truth is that the you know the parents. You know, you want to tell the parents that the child needs a team. And almost always a child comes in and there's a very split set of parents, and you say, look, you know, this child needs a team that can really work together and really really work as one to support this. This may take everything you've got. And that means you both have got to be totally on the same page. And as you do that, you're healing the rift in the marriage that the child came in to support.
Just as a quick reminder about ego, it's very hard sometimes to get your ego out of what you want to have happen. And you can't predict whether the stage four is going to stay or go. And you can't predict whether somebody who's got something really simple isn't going to go straight down. And so this is one where teaching it in this year is important, because you really do need to be on the lookout to keep yourself from getting that hook. This one is something that can get hooks in people.
And we'll talk about that. And even more important than ego is you have to deal with your own terror. If you're going to work with cancer patients and you're pretending you're fine with it, you shouldn't be working on them. You should not be working on cancer patients if you think, oh, I'm fine, I can just work on cancer patients, I'm good, I'm above that. You are terrified to get it. And the terror that you have has to be dealt with. It has to be felt. It has to be these are very difficult. It's a very difficult disease because it has that insidious quality in it. And it's something that you have to respect. You have to respect its intelligence, and you have to respect that you also don't want to be in that situation. And very often people that do a lot of work with cancer patients end up getting the same kinds of cancers that their patients get, because they're so involved in that person getting better and they don't deal with their own fear, so their fear goes into investment into helping this person. I'm gonna help this person. What they end up doing is they end up resonating with that person, and they end up resonating with the cancer and then creating it. I had one of my clients was a top doctor in Boston, one of the top researchers in this one very specific type of skin cancer that only white people get, because white people, you know, black people generally don't get it. She was black. She got it and died in 3 months on her inside of her lip.
Wow.
She was the world expert in this cancer.
Oh my God.
And she died of it. And that's why healer school should be mandatory for all doctors, because they don't understand that if they're consistent, if they choose a specialty, they're likely to get their specialty. If they don't understand how to manage their energy field. Because their energy field will eventually resonate with that, especially if they have some level of compassion. Surgeons never get anything because they have no compassion. But doctors do, researchers do, people that care do. Okay?
Wow.
Wait, who doesn't?
I know. Some surgeon will watch this and go,
recently.
How dare.
Yeah.
All right. So,
Reese.
What?
Jamie.
Oh.
My practical model. She had cancer. Jamie, you have to talk louder. When I did my practicum, I worked with a woman who had stage 4 cancer, and she was actually in the first year class. And I had no idea how it was going to turn out, of course, and she really did. And she had two very strange of her children. And through the healing before she died, she healed the relationship between son and daughter. And that's what Reese was saying, that that's what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then she could go. Mm-hmm. So I was calling her back. And she was a doctor, and you know, and was one of those people that was not totally connected with her feelings. And so, but that's, you know, that's an example of you have, you know, and when you're working with them, it's very sad to watch a client go, especially once you really realize how beautiful they are on the inside and how amazing they are.
Carolyn Mace says cancer is a change or die. You know?
Change or die, right. So it's like grow, it's two things. It's either gonna make you stronger or it's gonna take you home. All right, so understand, see, we got okay. The most important part of a cancer healing, when you're working as a healer with a person, is not the cancer healing itself. It's what you recommend to them that they do. They need to get all toxicity out of their life. Okay, that's everything. That's macrobiotic diet. That's smoking, drinking, drugs. Any drugs not necessary for surviving. Working with a naturopath, exercise, good sleep, removal of toxic relationships. How many people got a relationship? I mean, we've had people in the program with cancer. We've had and clients that literally get cancer because they'd rather die than be in their relationship anymore. Literally. It's like, I would rather die than keep doing this, but I don't have the strength to leave, so I'm just gonna die. And you've gotta make them face that. And usually the cancer gives them the excuse. It's like, you're gonna die in this relationship if you don't, you need to be everything. And when they have it, you can say, you have to remove all toxicity. You cannot stress yourself in any way. And then they will actually be able to address the fact that they have this toxic relationship in their life and they can't deal with it. And they need to get therapy, or they need to help, or they need something. They'll work with that. They need healing work, healthy work environment, psychotherapy, because whether they admit it or not, they're terrified, and they need to be working with a therapist. They cannot go it alone. Depression, anxiety is natural when they have cancer, and because ultimately, the cancer thrives in an unhealthy environment where they're draining their energy into the vow, which is something outside of themselves. And we're going to be doing the addiction healing later. There's some level of addiction to sending the energy outside the body rather than keeping it in the body to keep it healthy. So recommended is one chakra balance a week, and with the extra attention on the second chakra. You spend a lot of time on the second chakra, because the second chakra, the fifth chakra as well. The second chakra and the fifth chakra are really the power centers in the body. The immune system, is really that. Those are the big chargers. And so, really working with the second chakra for the energy charge, and the fifth chakra to be able to start speaking, and sort of the internal voice has got to be really empowered. That feeling like, I have the strength to do this. It's important to also understand, and Rosenbrier talked a lot about this. You can do a lot of healing work with somebody and they can get over their cancer and they can go into remission. The body will, and you will often see 1 year out, they'll get the cancer again. And they'll have stopped doing healing work about a year before. So it's important that you remind them that even though they're better now, that they have to consistently do healing work. Even if it's only once every 2 or 3 months, they need to keep the healing work going, because the healing work keeps the body charged. Because the old pattern is that old. I mean, remember, vows don't go away ever, folks. You get a freedom statement. You teach these people what their freedom statement would be. You talk to them. You find out about them. And you say, what would you, if you know? And you don't say, what's your freedom statement in your chakra? You know, you say, what would it be? You know, let's get a statement that you can put on your mirror. That's who you believe you are. What do you stand for? I am open to being. And not just healthy, but I'm open to being a change in the world, a powerful person. I'm open to healthy relationships. I'm open to, and you have them working with that, and then supporting them with that through healing work.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
I mean, would it be acceptable to, like, take some of the things out of the back of the police tape up like the positive affirmations and just share that?
Absolutely. You can share. Yes.
Good.
Anything, if you've got clients, you can look through your book. Anything that I've given you as far as, you know, if you want to say, and you know it's a certain chakra and you know it's like, you know, these are, you could pick your favorite five and say, these are my favorite five affirmations for what, for the type of thing that I think that you might be dealing with. How would these feel? And they'll be like, you know, and if they've really got a vow against that, they'll be saying, that's a really hard time, you know. Who was it that just, where was I? Was it in class? Somebody didn't want to say? Oh no, it was Tanya on our last call, the second year student from the mastery program, and all we wanted to do was say, I sabotage myself sometimes.
She can do it.
And she couldn't say it.
She's like, I can't say that.
After 2 years in the mastery program, she's like, the one thing, and I was like, that's the one thing you can't say, isn't it? And she's like, So it's, but that sense of, you know, there's things that people are gonna have a hard time saying. But those are the things they have to say. They have to make it okay to say those things. Okay. So recognizing that ultimately a vow is what shuts down the system. It always has. It shuts down the chakra. It shuts down the energy. And so you just keep that in mind as you're moving forward. It's, chakras don't just shut down on their own. Your trauma did not shut down your chakra. Traumas are just like cuts. They get better in a couple of weeks. Your brain never heals because it hates and it can't stand and it'll never let go. It'll never forgive because it gives it meaning. And when your meaning is hate and when your meaning is hate, is rejection, and when your meaning is grief, and your meaning is, and what it gives your life purpose to do that, it will shut down and create literally a cancer in your system that doesn't allow that chakra to really have any energy in it. When there's no energy in a chakra center, the organs in that area will likely start mutating. That's where the cancers come in. Okay? Cancer has two purposes. Talked about that. Okay, client state of mind. After cancer diagnosis, all clients will feel fear. Everyone wonders if they're the cause of their own cancer or if they're being punished by God. They will also have fears that what a healthy life would look like, and who they would have to let go of if they were to let go and be that healthy person. And literally, some people would rather die than change their life. And they won't say it out loud, but you can feel it in their system. They're just like, I know I'd have to leave my job. I'd have to, you know, I'd have to walk away from this toxic relationship with my child. I'd have to give this, but I just
or
can't.
Even things like addictions. They know they have to quit drinking. Or they know they have to quit smoking. Or they know they have to quit eating like shit. And they can't. They actually, that's like, we think that's simple. But for them, it's really, you know, they're not invested in that change, you know.
Right. So really, any type of addiction is also a vow not to, remember, and we're going to talk about addictions in a minute here. All addictions are a vow to be someone that you're not. And that half of you that you're not calls you all day long. And since you vowed never to fill it in a healthy way, you can only fill it with a secondary pleasure. So it's really important to understand, you got to deal with these vows. They are what run your life.
It's so amazing to me. I worked with somebody with cancer, and she was a smoker. You know, she was in her 60s and a heavy drinker, you know. And she would not quit smoking. And she would not quit drinking. And she died in like 6 months.
Yeah.
Because she just couldn't do it.
Right. And there's just too much toxicity in the system, so they have to let that go. The other thing that they're afraid of, a lot of people are very afraid as they get to end of life, they're terrified of the afterlife. They're terrified of letting go. And so you want to work with them on that. And when you do healing work, it's the perfect thing. You could just do a basic healing on them, and they're going to go into a place that you can say, where were you during the healing? And they'll go, I don't know. And you can remind them that's when they're starting to move into other dimensions. If they've never experienced that before, that no time, no space place, you do a life purpose healing, you do something that takes them to a much deeper place, what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to say, that's more like, you know, sort of like, if you're afraid of, you know, talk to them about, how do you feel about dying? It's like, well, I don't, I'm mostly scared because I don't know what it's going to be like. And you can say, you know, there's this trend, you know, healing work is, it brings you into other dimensions where you can start feeling what it's like to let go of this place and not be so attached, and talk to them about their fears. And obviously therapy is an excellent place for people like that. And then, of course, giving them resources, giving them things to read about, you know, about cancer, both the healing of cancer and the causes, and give them stories about people who have recovered from cancer.
Let me say, you can heal your life. You know, that's the top one on my list to give them. And Louise talks about how she had vaginal cancer and healed herself from that by doing her thing. You know, not so great. You know, great first start for people.
And there's lots of books out there. People love to read about people that have recovered, and have them, you know, recommend that they read that.
But surely somebody else is giving them all that. I mean, I'm coming along.
Don't assume.
I can't be the one. She's at stage four. I'm coming in. I can't start doing all this education program.
Why not?
No.
Because I'm doing it as a friend. I'm going in there. I've done two already. I've got two more to do before I go to Ireland. I can barely squeeze it in. I'm going fucking nuts in my life.
I'm not talking to you.
I'm just saying, but for example, how does one find the time? And not, you know, just doing emotional balancing.
If you
it's
have,
been very, it's
if,
been very effective.
If you have 10 minutes, if you have 10 minutes to talk to her, you say, "How are you feeling? I'd love
She went to some other space and saw her grandmother and her mother, and she can't believe it. And
it's okay. So she's not worried about that one. But you may want to find out from her, you know, just find out a little history. And when people tell you about their history, they tell you about their vows in their life. They're telling you what they did or didn't do or what they wish they had done. And you can support them in any one of these levels. And you can just ask, what are you doing to support yourself to get yourself less toxic? Because doctors are loading your body with chemotherapy, and they aren't worried at all about whether you're getting the toxicity out of the body. And you can say, how are you, what are you doing, you know, are you juicing, what are you doing to give yourself, you know, as much energy as you can, because the immune system, chemotherapy, most people die of chemotherapy, not the cancer. More people die of chemotherapy than the cancers. But chemotherapy works. I mean, it's like, you know, it doesn't work. It's that the body needs to have enough of an immune system to be able to deal with the chemotherapy and come back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you meet Ursula Kaiser in Naples? Rose Anderson.
Ursula, yeah, okay. Yes.
So that's a book that she wrote because she was given a death sentence. And
right.
She cured herself. So maybe instead of giving somebody, it's called My Journey to Wellness.
There are a million people that survive cancer that write books.
So it's like a survivor story.
Right.
Maybe,
it's a hero story. People love a hero story.
Yeah.
So. Even if you just say, you know, read what you can, you know, you're not. If it's a 10-minute conversation, that's enough. And just that you care, that you're looking at it. The key is that you respect cancer enough, not to know that you're not that you need to be respectful of it, and that you are afraid. You know, that everybody's afraid of getting it themselves, but at the same time, you're not afraid to face it face to face. And when you act that way and you stand there, because it's not, you know, it's like. Martial arts, you know, mm-hmm. Nobody wants to get punched, but your willingness to stand up and meet something face to face is the only way you know how to deal with it. And so when she feels you be able to do that, whatever it is, it might be just quitting smoking, it might be, you know, getting rid of a toxic relationship. Mike, you had a question?
Yeah, I kind of spaced out. Did you say that like the chakra balance and the emotional balance was just a general good balance?
The chakra balance is basically what you're going to be doing, and of course you're holding all three levels of your field. So you're always working with both the life purpose, the soul level at these, because those levels aren't dying.
Right, the body is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're always all the healings that you do from now on, you never do a healing without aligning yourself with your life purpose and your soul level as well. And then you're going to be working with the chakras. But at the physical level, the second chakra is often depleted because it just can't keep the energy up. The immune system gets depleted.
Henry, I read somewhere where 80% of our immune cells are in our gut.
Right.
So.
Yep.
80% of our immune cells
are in our gut. I read that.
So
yeah,
it makes
yeah.
sense that a second chakra support
And of course, anything like chemotherapy or antibiotics just wipe the gut out.
Breaking, yeah.
So, you know, when you're trying to get someone healthy, they take the drugs that keep them, give them the least chance of getting healthy. Even though it kills the problem, it creates long-term illness.
Right.
And gut issues. Okay.
If there's a mass,
You can do all kinds of healings, but this one is specific for. I mean, the key there's other levels of this healing that I'm not gonna teach you right now. But basically,
I'm gonna teach you how to do this.
So let's start. I just want you to really get the sense of this. Let me finish this. Healer process you have to deal with your issues around cancer and your own fears. Okay, so let me demonstrate this. What happens is that the cancer cloaks itself in this husk, and what we're gonna do is, you know, what this healing will do is start the process of allowing the body itself to attack it.
Oh, good.
At some point when the cancer has been attacked, whether it be by chemotherapy or radiation or by the body itself, it loses its power. And that's when you can actually go in as a healer later and literally remove the husk, what keeps it there energetically. Just like when we did the parasite healing, you're creating, you're like literally breaking those silver needles, break the husk off of it. So it can't be sort of encapsulated anymore and it loses its power. And so you take the husk out, and then the body then reabsorbs all that energy. Okay.
Cool.
So, but the most what we're going to work on today is just the most basic part of the healing process. Okay. All right. I won't do the healing on you, but let me have one of the TAs on the table.
All right.
That's. I'd rather have her see it though, because it's not as. I'm not going to do the healing. I'm not going to, you know, because you're, you know, what I do with Rebecca is the last part of the healing. After the cancer's gone in the remission, you want to make sure that if you would go back in and rebuild, restructure the whole area energetically. Because if anything were taken out, if there were a piece of the thyroid that was taken out, what was taken out there? Lymph glands.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are lymph nodes that are taken out. There are organs that are taken out. There's half an organ taken out. You need to restructure that energetically and heal that area, because it'll actually, when you cut something out of the body, it will get taken out, but it'll literally be flopping there energetically. You need to reestablish its wholeness, or it'll still have phantom pain. They'll still have pain problems. So if someone has chronic pain after surgery, you want to go in and rebuild the structure. Because you still, someone who's had a hysterectomy still needs healthy ovaries. Energetically, they still are going to need to be creative in their life and birth things. So you go back in and you have to restructure that. So that's what I do there. But
so someone can do this for me, though.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
You'll just let me know what step, where to start.
Right. That would be. It would just be. I mean, that would be the step to go to that. That's the 7-level healing. You'd go there, and the person would go in and restructure, you know, and bring the blue lines at the first level, and go way in and fill, and every artery, everything that was disrupted by the healing, gets reorganized and rebuilt, and that lymph gland that used to be there is there energetically now, so it works, so it's helping the body, it's supporting rather than it being sort of cut out and hated and, you know, and all that and feared, okay.
And you can do this years later.
Years later, right? She can get whoever works with her. You know, today we'll work over that. You know, maybe. I don't know. We're doing the addiction, so maybe later someone can practice that. That's a good practice. But you all know the 7-level healing. I mean, over the site.
Weaving
that's
the 7 levels.
What?
Weaving
the 7 levels. Right. Okay. So. Sure.
This way.
Amy, you want to? Amy. Yeah. Why don't you go feet up this way? I'll be on that side of the table.